Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
The Survivor Specialist Phil, Will, and McKenna are back, and today we are recapping episode number 6 of Survivor AU versus the World. I feel like we just did this, like literally last night. Here we are. We're back. Will, two episodes in a row. What the hell, man? Here you are.
Hey, from the start, I've said I want to be in. I want to be podcasting. I like, this sounds like a fun season. I've never watched an Australian season, but and then they're like, we're just going to drop all the episodes all at once. But now I've kind of caught up to speed. I'm here. This was a fun other episode, another good one. I think a lot to talk about. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I really enjoyed this one. I thought this one was probably maybe my favorite one so far of the season. I feel like the conversation surrounding Kirby, how Kirby pretty much drove everything in the pre-merge, was integral to that vote yesterday and pretty much the deciding factor of who went home. And then she ends up following Sarah right out of the game in a pretty hefty 6-2-1 blindside. Shawnee does not vote with them. Luke does not vote with them. So Shawnee and Luke kind of on the outs here. Janine, the godmother, making her own moves finally for the first time on this season. This was Survivor Archivist says, Janine fans have never been so vindicated. I know, Will, this was your first experience with Janine. Like, Janine's not doing much until this episode, so you know, for those who are new to Australian Survivor, this probably feels like a thank God she did something. I thought she wasn't even on the season.
Yeah. I mean, so far she has been the one where you're like, I can understand why everyone's been cast in this season, except for Janine, where I'm like, why isn't she done? And especially in the first few episodes, they gave her like no confessionals. They didn't even set her up for something like this.
Yeah.
She was kind of just ignored. And then more recently, we've seen her kind of be in this partnership with Luke, but then she doesn't even fill in Luke on the plan. And then Luke doesn't fill Janine in on the plan that he's with Shawnee. So, like, I don't know. I'm confused on a lot of things. Like, I don't know how Luke and Janine didn't come together on either one of their plans. That's probably my biggest question. But yeah, Janine's here and she made a move against Kirby. And like I said yesterday, I said, Kirby, Parv, Sari, and Shawnee are not going to be the final four. Like, this alliance is not going to be here for a while. And look, I've recapped now one episode of Australian Survivor. I made one prediction, and it comes true the next episode. So, weren't you, both of you and Adam were like, yeah, that's the final four. Parv and Kirby have this in the bag. They had a pregame alliance. The season's over. This is a wrap. And I was like, no, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. That just shows how good Will's listening skills are, everybody. Like, I mean, it could have been the thing, but I don't know if I expected it to flip so fast with the world players not having as much of a say, because that's where I thought it was going to be. Like, they don't owe anything to Shawnee or Kirby, so maybe the world makes this happen, but the world didn't really make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not think it would happen the next episode. I figured it would be a little bit later down the line that, you know, that four would flip on each other. But hey, it's here, and it made the game a little bit more spicy. We have one of those powerhouses now eliminated from the game. And so I'm interested to see how, like, Luke picks up from here, how Janine picks up from here, because Kirby was taking a lot of screen time and strategy talk time and all that. So,
and how is Shawnee going to pick up from here? Because Shawnee goes with that alliance one episode, turns around the next episode, votes against the alliance, like votes against, who'd she vote against in this episode?
She voted for Sari.
Sari. Votes for Sari one episode after playing with Sari, saying we're getting the Shawn tent we want, which is her and Parv. And then she turns around and she votes for Sari. Like, I'm wondering where Shawnee goes at this point. It feels like I talked about this a couple episodes. I think, Will, it was the one before you came on, McKenna, you and I talked about it. I said, it's like you're playing tennis and neither one of you is like amazing. So you just kind of let the other person make the mistake. You keep hitting it back. Yeah. You keep hitting it back. Eventually somebody's going to go for the kill shot. I feel like the Australians are going for kill shots and they're just hitting it into the net. And the Americans are just
going
like,
after each other.
Yeah.
It's like Janine's coming up with the kill shot to eliminate Kirby. And then last week it was Kirby with a kill shot to kill Sarah. And it's like, you have these three world players that like, yes, they're getting brought up as, wait, they're a threesome. We should target one of them. They're gaining power, blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, you have Tommy as an open shot here. You have Lisa as an open shot here, but they're more focused on taking out the more powerful or the more like prominent Australian players.
Mm-hmm. And Suri constantly getting shot at with stray votes of just like, when Parvati is like one of the bigger targets, it's always Suri getting these shots at every single tribal council. If I were Suri, I'd be like, what the hell is going on and how do I stop this? Because this is getting ridiculous now.
Well, I think the other thing is, I think that a lot of people probably know about Parv's idol because Cass definitely saw her grab that. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to avoid maybe going for Parv in this situation. Also, it feels like everybody feels like they have more of an avenue with Parv than they do with Suri. I think that's where Parv's social game on this season has been excellent because she's playing in everybody. I mean, Kirby was shocked that she got voted for by Parv, right? Like, I think that other people are going to be shocked if Parv betrays them, which I don't know how you get shocked 5 seasons into Parvati when Parvati doesn't actually have your back as tight as you think. But she really is like, she's doing what she needs to do socially. And I'm not saying Suri's not, but it feels like Parv is protecting herself from all angles that you really need to come up. This was final 9. You couldn't get 4 votes to go on Parv. You couldn't get 5 votes to go on Parv, no matter how you shook it.
It's interesting because I watched one of Tegwa's most recent videos of that Parvati is like known for being the flirt and manipulating the men. And so that's attracts some of the women to work with her because it's like, yes, let's manipulate these men. But that also then leads her to manipulating the women. And she's actually really manipulating the women. And I'm like, this is genius. Like she can manipulate like anything with legs into going with her and her decisions on where to vote.
I agree. Parv's got the social skills dialed in, but let's not sit here and pretend like this is Parv's move. I don't think Parv wanted to vote out Kirby. I think the early part of this episode was just how strong their relationship is. They want to go to final 3. They commit to each other. Parv found herself in a pickle here where the votes were going against Kirby and she could do nothing about it. So she could either write Kirby's name down and keep the peace and keep up appearances with the rest of the people out here. Or she could have written, I don't know, like Lisa's name down, or Suri was the other option. Like if she really wanted to keep Kirby in the game, it would have been playing an idol on Kirby and then Suri goes home. Like that's probably not what you want if you're Parv. So like, I don't know. And I know we had her voting confessional where Parv is like, you know, what it really came down to Kirby was that you keep eliminating the people closest to you. And if I'm close to you, you're going to come for me first. So I'm going to ax you. Mm-hmm. I think that was just a load of crap from Parv. Yeah. Like Parv, the real confessional is, I want to work with you. I've enjoyed playing with you. There was nothing I could do to save you except make a really big blunder for my game, which would be playing my idol on you. And if Parv plays the idol on Kirby, it's like, great, you survived another tribal council, your final 8, but now it's Parv and Kirby against 6 people, basically.
Yeah.
Now they're just like, screw you guys. Like, it doesn't matter who even gets idled out. I think it would be Suri, but like, Parv had no choice here, and I don't think she wanted Kirby to actually go home.
I totally agree.
Do you think this move where Parvati getting rid of Kirby repairs anything with Cass?
Potentially.
So that's something I do want to highlight here. It did seem like the world was in fact left out of this vote. Like there was a mention of that in this episode that they were left out of the last vote. What, Will?
Luke mentioned it. Luke says, you guys were bamboozled by, and Cass kind of goes, yeah, you're right. But like, to me, there's no way. You're talking about last week or last night's vote, right?
Yeah.
I they had to have, they, because we didn't get, maybe this is like, come on, Austin, like just tell us, like, why are we left in the dark on this? We didn't get the Tommy, Lisa, Cass, any confessional from any of them being like, I can't believe Suri and Parvati betrayed the world tribe and didn't include us in the vote. We got not a lick of that. We only heard that from Luke, who I think is just like assuming that they were left right out, but it had to be a vote split. Like, and we talked through that yesterday. I would be shocked if they were left out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And in terms of, we didn't get a lick of it, we literally did not get a confessional from Cass, Lisa, or Tommy tonight. So we literally did not get a lick of it.
Because like, or maybe, and maybe that's what Australian Survivor is attempting to do, is like, leave this up, like make this a question. Like if you're the audience right now, you're like, wait a second, Lisa, Cass, and Tommy all voted incorrectly when Sarah goes home. Or was it a split vote? I don't know. Like, I don't know how closely they're all working together. And then Luke like subtly brings it up. So like, they're maybe trying to include like these little seeds of distrust, like within the world tribe, so that when it eventually fractures, that there've been seeds planted. But I don't know. I'd rather just be told like what's going on.
Yeah.
Janine is trying to plant seeds with Parv about Cass, that Cass is going to gun for her. But with Parvati, she always double checks back whenever a seed is given to her. She goes to Cass and is just like, so I've been told that you're throwing my name around. And Cass is like, no, lies. Like, well, totally not true. Don't worry about it, Parvati.
And I do think what Cass said tonight at Tribal Council was so fair, of her saying she can't lie in English.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible for her to lie in English. And I think that we're not seeing Cass's game to the full potential right now, because Cass is playing in her second language doing this. So when she's getting approached by Parv in that scenario, I don't know how Cass can make it seem sincere. You know what I mean? Like, it almost feels like Cass is just like head spinning. I got to say something. I can't believe I'm being approached like this. But great on Janine for throwing that out there and putting that little seed of doubt into Parv's head. And like Will said earlier, this wasn't Parv's move. No, Parv was along for the ride here 100%. Mm-hmm. Janine really orchestrated everything in this episode. She orchestrated the distrust between Cass and Parvati. She orchestrates she kind of got Parvati on her heels a little bit in this episode. And Cerise says, I don't know if I totally trust Janine. And Parv's like, or however it was, one of them was like, I don't know if I really trust Janine. And then the other was like, but I really do. Like, I think that Janine is absolutely telling the truth.
Yeah.
Cerise just like, I'm just buying it. Like, I just get good vibes. Like, she just feels it. And Janine is being pretty like, I mean, I know Janine's the one who schemed it all up, but I don't think Janine was, other than the cast lie, I don't think she was being dishonest about anything having to do with Kirby and like putting the numbers on Kirby. I think she was just like, look, we should take Kirby out. She's a big player. She's a threat. She's going to make moves. She's going to be aggressive, all this, which is like not untrue.
And I didn't think it was lie wasn't even a lie either. Like, we know as the audience, and Janine doesn't necessarily know that, but like, it still wasn't a lie.
Wait, you're mentioning like the cast thing?
Yeah, yeah. So like,
yeah,
this is still gunning for Parvati. Not that Janine actually factually knows that, but we know that Parvati isn't high on Cass's list. So it's like, even though that was a lie, it's also not really a lie.
Yeah, it's almost like Janine was like, I can tell that Cass is not like
feeling it,
including Parv and her long-term plans for this game. So I can make up this lie that she's floated Parv's name out to me when in fact she hasn't. And I think that's why Cass maybe was caught so off guard, where it's like, wait, this is absolutely true, but like, Janine, I never saw that to Janine. Janine's lying, but like, I'm sort of lying. Am I caught here? I don't know.
So let's talk about the strategy of getting rid of Kirby here, because Janine's pushing it. The Australians are going after each other. Do you think part of the Australian plan, because obviously Janine went for Kirby, but Luke and Shawnee paired up in this episode to go after Suri. Do you think that on the way back now, there's the potential that Shawnee, Luke, and Janine might try to work with the three world players and say to them, you can't go to the end with Parv and Suri. That is a losing game. You cannot beat them. let's play our game and let's try to play with each other and see if we can go further. Cause it feels like that's what this is setting up. Even Janine's little mentions to Parv about Cassidy. It feels like it's trying to pit the world players against the American players. And now for the Aussies to kind of swoop in and say, world, come with us or you lose anyway.
But why is Janine going to Parv about this and not Cass? So if they were going to pair up with world, wouldn't you think you'd be talking and spreading information to people who you want as an allies? I feel like they're closer to going with Parvati and Suri. At least Janine went to Suri about a plan. Janine is going to Parvati with information about the world trio. So I feel like they're not wanting to take the world people along with them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I gotta say, it feels pretty open here. And we heard a mention of this a few times that, like, you know, not maybe exactly the word free agent, but a lot of this, like, individual game, it's the merge, the lines have been crossed, like all this, especially from the Australian players, it really feels like they're just going to play an individual game for themselves. And if there are people from whatever tribe that are willing to work with them, then sure, like, work with them. I do think we should mention, and maybe you've talked about this already because I joined in not for all of these recaps, but, like, I think there's a big distinction between the Australian tribe, like the Aussies. Like, they all played on the same franchise of Survivor. They live in the same country. Like, that is very different than, like, oh, the world tribe. Like, you guys are the world. It's like, no, there's, you know, what? There were three Americans and then four players from four different countries. Yeah. So it's not like there's, like, this united front on the world tribe where, like, there might tend to be that more on the Aussie tribe where it's like they are actually from the same country and played on the same franchise. But now you can almost look at it like we have two Americans, three Aussies, and then three worlds. And honestly, the three worlds have kind of been the most loyal to each other.
Yeah.
And the Aussies that do come from the same franchise have been, like, the most disloyal to each other. So maybe this point's a load of crap, but I at least think it's worth, like, pointing out the distinction that, like, it's not the same on both
starters. Yeah. I agree with that. And like, if you're watching this game play out, Lisa feels like she's so in the pocket of Suri and Parv. She's never going to go against that. If I'm Cass, now that the lie's already out there, maybe you don't trust Janine but Parv doesn't say Janine told me. She says a couple people have told me. If I'm Cass and I'm Tommy, and it seems like that's what's being set up in the preview for next week, I'm probably trying to go after Parv and Suri coming up, right? Like, if I'm Cass and Tommy, throw Lisa away at this point, because, like you just said, Will, you're not actually from the same country. If Lisa doesn't want to get on board with you guys, let's go a different way and let's go play with the Aussies to try to take out Parv and Suri, because Shawnee just showed her hand that she, yeah, as much as she wants to play with Parv, she doesn't need to play with Parv and Suri. She's willing to play this game to win. She gave the fans what they wanted for one episode. So now you have Shawnee, you have Luke, you have Janine. Luke and Janine didn't vote together, but that's not going to break up their relationship, I don't think, in any way, shape, or form.
No.
You have those three. Tommy and Cass, if they're smart, they're going after Suri and Parv in this next episode, whether Lisa likes it or not.
I mean, I would take it a step further, Phil. Like, I would say, I don't know if Lisa's in Parv and Suri's pocket. It feels like she's more in Suri's pocket. Like,
yeah,
I think
she would go against Parv in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I totally see a world where Lisa is super down to turn on Parv. I just don't see her turning on Suri as soon. And you could tell a little bit, too, that, like, Suri knows that Lisa just loves her. And Suri did not want to vote Lisa out tonight. So, like, Luke and Shawnee, or who no, it was the Australians that it was, like, Kirby that really wanted to get Lisa. Like, yeah, that was Kirby's target. And Suri was like, I don't really like that. Like, and I think that's what made it easier for Janine to come in and be like, hey, let's target Kirby. Because then, like, Suri didn't probably want to make that big of a stink that, oh, man, can't have Lisa go home. Because why would she stick her neck out for Lisa? It's kind of a red flag. But I think Suri was more down to make this move if it meant that she was keeping Lisa in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason why, like, Lisa's name was on the table is because she's in the trio attached to Cass, and Cass was immune. So with that, you know, on the table, Suri was definitely like, other options, please.
Yeah. Now, do you think ultimately they got it right with Kirby? Suri yeah, it seems like this is the right move. She doesn't go home. Lisa doesn't go home. But do you think for everybody else in this game that Kirby, this was the right move to boot Kirby? Should they have been looking at Lisa? Or should this have been the moment where they said, let's take out Ceri or Parv and get one of them out so that they can't just keep running this?
I think every moment is the correct moment to say we should take out Ceri or Parv, like every vote. But if they're not going to do that, I think Kirby was a strong option. But I think Parvati is correct where, like, she says this about everybody, but as soon as X is gone, I'm the biggest threat. But she's starting to now, that's starting to come into fruition. Tony's gone, so she was the biggest threat on World. Now they're at the merge, but Kirby was really dominant. But now Kirby's gone. And so now it's, you're going on merit at this point. And, you know, Parvati is really big right now. And people know that she may or may not have some things in her pockets.
And she's about to pull them out, as we see from the preview for next time. She's at Tribal Council with the hidden immunity necklace around her neck. Saying, I'm either playing this for myself or Ceri. Parvati does not win immunity in the next episode.
Do you know who does?
Did it show it in that?
Yeah, it showed like everyone except
so much of Tribal Council.
Everyone except for Janine.
So there you go. Janine, Janine went. I knew Tommy didn't. Because Tommy's sitting there yelling at everybody.
They like zoomed in on everyone at Tribal Council. It's like, wow, way to like what a terrible, like, I know Survivor get, like, US Survivor gets flack for like.
No, AU spoils themselves all the time. They'll like post on Instagram being like, crazy tribal tonight. One of the big people are going home. And it's like George, Shawnee, Tony, or Parv. And it's like, okay, so now we know one of these four are going home.
Look, I don't know how many times I can point out the obvious flaw. Okay. Like Will, it makes me happy, Will, when you jump in on some of these. Cause like, obviously McKenna and I, we have our discussion. But like, I feel like if Will and I were doing Australian Survivor the way that we do US Survivor, recapping every week and stuff, I don't think you'd be really all that happy with either one of us with some of the twists and nonsense that they throw into this game. And yeah, like spoiling, telling us that Parvati is going to pull out her immunity idol, that she's definitely in danger, that Tommy is on his heels. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's almost like just fast forward to after the immunity challenge for next week.
Well, and what's crazy is this is coming after the Tuesday. So we really actually do have our biggest gap where there could be the most discussion. And it's like, no, Janine wins immunity and Parv's in danger. Like,
Australian Survivor, I feel like they want to highlight these big moments where like this tribal council is going to be epic, but it's like they spoil who wins immunity and show that Parv reveals her necklace. And it's like, well, now it is big, but it's like, I half know all of the information.
Yeah.
I'm going to just not watch the previews moving forward, honestly.
Yeah, you really should.
I'm just not going to do it. And then we won't talk about it if I'm able to even join the recaps. But
yeah, exactly. I think for anybody who's wondering about that, I think next Sunday is Tegwith and someone. Monday is Tegwith and someone. I know for Monday, she might have a player from US version who's ready to go with her. And then Tuesday, McKenna's back. So it should be McKenna and Tegwith. It's just like, that type of stuff is crazy. So it's like when you're talking about what's going to happen, it seems like Parv really is going to be in trouble next time. Parv always says, I'm the biggest target here. I do think that that is true. She's the winner who's left in the game. Like Ceri might be seen by some as a better or equal player, but Ceri doesn't have the win. So Parv is the bigger threat than Ceri. So I think that what she's saying is true. But right now at final eight, she has so much ammo. That what does it really matter if she's the biggest threat? Like she has the idol. She has the knowledge as power. Cass has an idol and Luke has an idol. But if Parv figures out that Cass has an idol or feels that way with her knowledge as power, or just takes a shot in the dark at it and says, that's I'm going to guess that Cass has it. That's it. I know, different game, but she could make that decision to say, I'm just going to go after it. And see what happens. And I'm going to see if like Cass has something to ensure that she can't protect herself. I mean, who knows? Like there's a lot of avenues for Parvati to go right here. So even though she's the biggest threat, I don't see Parvati's back as up against the wall right now. There's going to be antics next episode. They've already told us that, but I don't really
We got like a major quote that she's like holding out. She's like, I'm going to play it on me or Ceri. It seems like Ceri is also a little bit like under the gun next week.
Maybe I'm more worried for her.
If Cass doesn't feel like as worried, then she might feel like, oh, why isn't Cass worried right now or something like that, that she could like maybe suss out that Cass has a little bit of extra protection in her pocket.
It's funny. James Barber says, funny because Lisa is a winner and has no target on her. It's because nobody watched Survivor New Zealand. Like, no, I love even tonight when Luke did this, and I'm sure this is because of like an Aussie New Zealand rivalry, but when he was like, I'm going on a world tour, I'm going to Finland, I'm going to Quebec, I'm going to that other country. Like, I thought that was so funny because you know that that's like, he probably doesn't remember, but also if he does, that's got to be a dig at like little brother or something like that. What do we think about Luke now? He's been blindsided twice in a row. He's sitting there with his idol. His closest ally just left him out to dry. He is the person, and I like to look at confessionals just because. Par has 50. Luke has 28. So Luke is the closest to par from a confessional standpoint. Does Luke have legs in this game, though, or is Luke just, like, floating around along for the ride?
But was he blindsided, though? Because, like, Kirby said there's movement on Sarah to him. And so Sarah going home shouldn't have been that much of a blindside. I know he was saying, like, I didn't know that you actually had people voting with you. But, like, if Kirby said Sarah is a name out there, that shouldn't be a blindside.
But I think it was.
Luke did seem surprised that Sarah's like, oh, man, Sarah's gone. Like, whoa. Like, he kept saying, I want to go Aussie strong. And now he's like, well, screw it. Like, they didn't stick to Aussie strong. We're going to do our own thing. Is there a world? I mean, because this is why it's so confusing to me. And again, I've enjoyed this season, but like all you hear about is just like Australian Survivor is 10 times better than the US. US New Era sucks. US has lost it. Like, watch Australia. It's a better version of the show. And it's like there's some flaws, not even the format or some things we've already mentioned, but like, how do we not have a conversation with Luke and Janine going into this vote? Like, how did they vote separately? Where did they fall apart? Was this potentially a vote split where they said, let's put all the votes on to Kirby? What if Kirby has an idol? Luke, you get Shawnee and make sure you get some votes on Ceri just in case. Like, is there a world where that was the strategy? Like, the fact that we have had so many vote splits, or like, we've had now back-to-back tribal councils where three people are getting votes and not just two. It's not just two sides of an alliance going at each other. And it seems like we're orchestrating vote splits, or we're orchestrating like splitting up a majority to like steal the vote. I don't know. Like, it just, like, there are black holes here in terms of storytelling where this relationship has been put up. It's been built up through the season that Luke and Janine have each other's backs, and to have them not vote together and not have any explanation, it kind of is like, what are we doing here?
High Heart Wellness says Luke and Janine said several times in the episode that they were going to divide and conquer, but like, we don't understand how they got to the point that they did.
Well, yeah, divide and conquer is one thing. Divide and conquer is, okay, you go over there, I'm going to go over here, and let's gather up some numbers and people, and then let's put a plan together. What they did was divide and divide. There was no conquer because they didn't vote together. So it's like, why did they not vote together? And again, potentially this is on the table that they did a vote split of some sort, worried that Kirby had an idol. Like, that is on the table.
Go ahead, McKenna.
I feel like this season is edited so much differently than Brains versus Braun 2 that we just watched. I feel like we knew information, we knew sides, and then coming back into the next episode, we got some understanding of what happened if we were confused. Like, this, we're just leaving out big gaps of information, and I don't understand why, because they are important to stories.
And RZ here says the most confusing is Shawnee, and I totally agree with that. Like, I feel like the Shawnee one of how she's going after Ceri here and willing to play with Luke after we have not seen Shawnee and Luke, if I'm not mistaken here, they don't vote together once before this moment. Like, and they had gone, this is their fourth tribal council together, and this is the first time that they vote together. So I was confused by that. Here's what I will say about Australian Survivor, and this is a complaint that I have had on the Patreon that I have said in a lot of seasons, not so much in the most recent with Titan versus Rebels and Brains versus Braun 2, but with some of the seasons before that. It does feel like a lot of times people will be like, best tribal councils, most exciting stuff, this is great gameplay. I feel like a lot of the drama that happens in some of these crazy AU episodes is manufactured by omission. Like a lot of times it is like, we've talked about this with US before. I know Alexa and I talked about a lot about this, like during Edge of Extinction and during Island of the Idols, where somebody would go home and you'd be like, I don't know why that person just went home. And they don't really tell you afterwards. And you're like, okay, I still don't get it, but it was a dramatic vote. It was a blindside, but was it actually a blindside, or were they just not telling us enough info? And that's how I feel with what's taking place here for sure, is like, is the gameplay actually that wild and that crazy? Or like Will is saying, was there just, we just didn't see the important conversation here, just like we didn't see the important conversation of the three world people being in on whatever happened last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will say with Shawnee's, that at least we got a scene though between Luke and Shawnee being like, you know what would no one would expect if we came together out of nowhere and we teamed up? Wouldn't that be something? Mm-hmm. At least that was a scene included in the episode. For Luke and Janine, who have been just in lockstep the whole season, to like go their separate ways and have two separate plans and then never reconvene, like that's way more confusing to me than, because at least we saw Shawnee and Luke have a conversation, even if they hadn't voted together all season, and even if I don't know what their relationship is within this like Aussie world, but at least I saw them talk and say, this is what we want to do, this is our plan, let's get some numbers, let's vote out Suri.
And Shawnee said, like, at the top, I don't want to work with people who have voted me out before. I want to get them back. Janine has voted Shawnee out, and she very much said, like, I want Janine out. So then to go and work with Luke, who you know is working with Janine, is also, why is that happening?
Mm-hmm. There's also this explanation. Luke True. And Kirby have known each other for 10 years outside of the show. Janine probably knows this and kept Luke in the dark.
That's true.
How did they know each other 10 years? Like, because didn't Kirby fill it the first time in the most recent season?
Yeah, but they were friends. It's like how some people got other people onto the U.S. Survivor.
It feels like it's a smaller world over there.
It is. It's 1/10 of the population, as I found out last time when I said that. Yeah. Ratings weren't very high for this. Again, I thought this was the best episode. Yes, there's some glaring omissions, whatever, but I felt like Kirby was playing such a solid game, and the way that they were editing Kirby, it felt like, okay, maybe Kirby could be somebody who's actually going to be the competitor, and they're just milking Parv for everything that they can get confessional-wise in these early episodes because she's going to go out. But I do think that Kirby going home here to me was like, that's not the fashion that I expected her to go out. It's not the time that I expected her to go out. So I was pretty into that. But, you know, like, again, going back to the more glaring stuff, and like, these are things, again, I always like to bring this stuff up because if this was happening on US, it would be getting shit on. Like, relentlessly, people would be destroying it. And so, like, going back to this of Parv with 50, Tommy with 4, I wish I knew more of what was going on with Tommy. It's a 14-person starting season, and you're talking like hour and 20-minute episodes. This was actually a shorter one. This one was only 53. But that's the type of stuff, like if that happens in US, Tommy becomes the person that the internet stands ironically, because it's like he didn't get any confessionals. He was great. Like Chelsea from Ghost Island is great TV. Like
Queen.
Yeah. Give me a break. So when I look at this and I see what's happening, it's like, that's where Australian Survivor does this every season. This is how they operate. There was a guy a couple seasons ago who was like final 12, who had 2 confessionals the entire season. And that's like 12 or 13 episodes of Australian Survivor. Like, that's crazy. And when he goes home, you're supposed to care. And it's like, I don't even know that that's a human being right now. Like, what are we talking right. about? So
the twins from Blood versus Water. Also
didn't even know they were on. Like, yeah. It's terrible. So that's just like one of my complaints. And like, I feel like because there's such an emphasis on Parv on this season, and because we're hearing so much from her, and because we're hearing so much from Luke right now, it does leave confusion about like, why are the other people thinking what they're thinking? Because like Will said right at the beginning, this wasn't Parv's move. Luke was wrong. Kirby goes home. Those are your top 3 confessional getters. like, give me the story that actually took place from the people who told it. They did it a little bit with Janine for sure. But I just feel like, you know, that's one of my bigger complaints when I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
At the start of this episode, Parv and Kirby's relationship, they kept like talking and like confirming with each other, ultra confirming with each other. And then it felt like Parvati was the more like neurotic one about it. And then it flipped in the back half after immunity that Kirby was sus of their relationship and is like, are you sure we're good? We're supposed to be number ones. We're just double checking. And I feel like both of their play styles also weren't matching up because they're both like, they don't trust each other, but they do trust each other, but they don't trust the words. And it's like, they were not going to be a good relationship moving forward.
It almost felt like exactly what happened with Sarah and Kirby, except this time it was the opposite, where like Kirby's the one who gets hit here instead of Sarah getting hit. But it just felt like, okay, this sounds good in theory, but pretty much everything that that Parv was saying is like, I can't trust Kirby. I can't, like, I don't know. Like,
see, I think Parv did want Kirby in the game and wanted to go to the end with Kirby. I think Parv thought she could beat Kirby, that they can go up. She keep her in the game. She's a shield. I think, like, this really was that the tide turned against Kirby and there was nothing Parv could do unless make a really stupid move and save her with an idol. Like, I think the Sarah Kirby thing is very different because Sarah floats Kirby's name lightly to Janine. Janine spills out the Kirby and then Kirby's like, all right, well, I really can't work with Janine now. And they just, like, once their name started coming up, but like, Parvati was not the one who said, let's bring up Kirby's name.
Oh,
let's
toss
her out as an option. Because I think for everyone in the game, maybe except for Parv, I think this is the right move. Like, I think this is a good vote. Like, get out Kirby. She's been, as anyone on the Australian tribe is going to say, she dominated the pre-merge. She's going to get credit for that if she's sitting at the end. That's going to help her get jury votes. So you don't really want us next to Kirby. And Parv wants Kirby in as a shield, as someone who's playing like a threatening front-running game. And so, like, yeah.
So you do think getting rid of Kirby in this scenario was a better move than getting rid of Parv or Suri when neither one of them have immunity?
I mean, I think targeting Parv or Kirby, like, that duo was the right move. Like, depending on how you want. I think, like, the Suri targeting seemed odd to me. Like, at that point, just go for Parv if you're going to do that. And yes, there might be talks of her idol, but guess what? She didn't play it. So, like, you can't live in fear of an idol or else you're just never going to vote that person out. And then you're just letting them get further into the game with the idol still in their pocket. So at some point, you have to pull the trigger on them. So I think targeting Parvati or Kirby was correct.
Yeah. Also, just look at the immunity challenge, too. Cass, who winds up winning, and was lasted the longest, but then Parvati and Kirby were right behind and have been very strong players in the challenges, and especially in individual challenges moving forward, they are more threatening to, you know, thwart your plans, especially if you want to get Parvati out in the future. You probably should have taken the shot here because Australian Survivor does like to do a lot of these pain-based endurance challenges that she crushes.
Yeah, that she's been dominating right now. Yeah, I mean, Kirby was the one who did say to Parv in this episode, right, where she said, like, I'd go to the end with you. Is that good? And Parvati's like, anybody who wants to take me to the end, like, that's great. So
yeah,
you're probably right here, Will, in your line of thinking that Parv just didn't have a choice. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like probably going after Parv in this moment makes more sense. But then somebody did comment here, like James Barber said, low-key, Kirby might have beaten Parv. Like, I know that sounds crazy because I think Parv is somebody who sits at the end and gets the win pretty much no matter what. But if Kirby really is playing a better game and is dominating, and the Australians are like, we want you to be the representative, depending on who that third person sitting next to them is, Kirby very well could have won the game.
Totally.
Yeah. Ryan Chan brings up, it looked like Parvati did not want Jonathan to talk about the deal because this was that endurance challenge that Parvati was supposed to give to Cass. Though I think she definitely could not finish it, just like Cass could not finish the other one.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised Parv didn't bring it up, especially they had kind of their rough patch already. It was before the challenge where it was like, did you bring up my name? That's what Janine said. Like,
yeah,
a way to like smooth that over if you're Parv, like, in this situation,
here you go,
is like, I know I'm not beating Cass. Like, just look, like, honestly, when they intro this challenge, I was like, I think Cass has this like 90% chance. Like, I think she, like, anytime it's body weight too, like, it, like, you could feel that this was going to be a Cass win. And so if I'm Parv, just like, let her have it. Say I'm going to honor the deal. Say we're good. Like, keep up appearances here instead of trying to. But it seems like maybe in the back of Parv's head, she's like, oh, if I can eat this out, I want to then target Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which now, like, who knows if in a future episode, if they're head to head again in one of these challenges, will Cass say, well, that didn't count. You didn't give me that one. You were pushing until the end. Like, you lost. And who knows what that conversation
was. And Parvati goes, you were pushing to the end until you couldn't hold out with your foot. So
they love endurance challenges on AU. And I love endurance challenges. Like, I think the challenges on AU have always been very good. And a lot of times are better than the US because so much of it is head to head, physical endurance. Like, those are the kinds of things that I like to watch. I do feel like, you know, if it's going to keep being this way, they're like, Luke, he's terrible at endurance. Tommy has not been good at endurance. Like, yeah, I know he was still in it. Luke and Tommy were both still in it with Last Gas. That's it's a different kind of endurance. Like, that's not physical upper body strength endurance or like core weight endurance. Like, we've already seen that those two guys suck at this. And like Ryan Chan said,
well, that's why the body Luke's weight thing
in the endurance challenge just cracks me up because it's tricky ridiculous.
Because Luke and Tommy were going to have the same percentage of their weight, but their weight to muscle ratio is just way.
Yeah.
Bigger than if you're on a smaller person, the ratio is usually different when it comes to stuff like that. So yeah.
But also this body percentage challenge seemed like such a beast compared to like the crank challenge that we typically see in US, where it was these like heavy, awkward beams that they could barely even push.
It felt heavy from the start.
It felt like the beams themselves plus the body weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we had like 4 or 5 people out within the first like under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saree didn't make it a minute. And then I don't think there were like 2 people who were very far behind.
Luke was the last one that dropped at 5, and then Kirby dropped at 10, and then they made it to 15 with Cass winning.
Yeah. And I wonder what the percentage was, because holding those things up
15%.
Mm-hmm. Cause like doing that, like just like doing this motion is hard enough. Like, mm-hmm. like you could be this, like, you know, if you're just
the Korong challenge with Aubrey when she spits and Kyle Jason called this much. We saw that with Chrissy too in Hero Taylor's Hustlers, where it's you're just pressing outward against the disc, but this one you're holding the waist.
That's right. Yeah. And this, it was like awkward because it's already leaning in and you have to keep the rope like from going above the one thing. I don't know. That's tough. I mean, that was a brutal challenge, and Cass and Parv have kind of built up some sort of rivalry here that's been fun to watch. We'll see how much longer it lasts. I mean, the other thing though that's happening here is we're at final 8. So if Parv does go for Cass and Cass feels it, she has an idol. Obviously, we already know that Parv's talking about her idol. And then Luke has his. So like if those are the 3 people who are being targeted, who's kind of the stray bullet in that situation? Like, I don't know.
Saree is always a stray bullet.
Yeah.
Saree almost got idled out tonight. I mean, there was like, that was like on the table. Like if Parv just wanted to throw away her game to make good TV, she could have just played the idol for Kirby.
It is true. If she idles Kirby out and Saree goes home,
that's, I don't know what I would have done.
Part of me was a little concerned because Saree had the line of worst case scenario, I'm a juror tonight. And it was like, Saree, that is a worst case scenario. Like, that's a really bad scenario. We don't want that. We really don't want that.
I think the only way Saree hasn't gone out of the game is actually drawing a rock. I know she sort of went out on rocks in Advantage Geddon, but like actually drawing the rock, I think, is her last on her bucket list.
I don't know. She's got a few. She's got a quit. She's got a medevac. She's got a Redemption Island.
Don't put those two into the world.
Loser. I don't know. I'm just thinking. It's like, I don't know. There's always that trivia question. Like, what are the 7 ways to get on base in baseball? It's like, what are the 11 different ways you can lose?
She would never be a final tribal council.
What's funny is,
I just tossed that out yesterday as potential. I mean, not that I want that to happen, but it is yet another option of how you can not win a Survivor season.
It's funny with Saree, Will. It's like she's hitting for the cycle in baseball, and she's like one short, and it's like normally people don't get the triple. She has the triple. She has the home run. She has the double. She just can't get the single. Like she doesn't have the normal vote out on her resume. She has everything else.
Yeah.
She's done the hard one. She needs the easy one. I don't know if that's coming this season, because right now it feels like Parr,
something crazy has to happen.
Her, Lisa are good. So unless next week or the week after, or, you know, unless on Sunday it's 5-3 easy vote, which personally that's how I would play it. But based on how people are blowing up, it seems like there's going to be a lot of concern and probably split votes and who knows what else. And if Suri goes in another non-majority vote, I think people are going to lose their minds. But that's the beauty of playing Survivor. We can watch it happen twice in less than 6 months or whatever the hell it's going to be.
I feel like my mind would be blown if she actually went out in a normal vote. Like, I'd expect her to go out some weird way and be like, yes, this is Suri. If she actually goes out in a normal vote, I will be shocked.
Suri. Anything else from this episode? Anything else anybody wants to touch on before we wrap this up?
Luke's spelling of Suri.
Not even close. Like, dude, come on.
I don't know if I blame him though. Like, like, we only know how to spell Suri because we've been watching Survivor for this long. But like, if you had never heard that name and it's just like, oh, my name's Suri, like, what would be your go-to gut instinct?
Why does Luke not know that name though? If he's coming out to play AU versus the world,
and he doesn't give a, and
I would be somewhere in there, even if it starts with an S. I think I would definitely have an I in
there. I would start with an S, I think, pretty confident.
S I R I E or something like
S-E-R-I-E.
That.
S E R
I E. That's what he did. Yeah. He did S E R E E.
And James Barber, that would only be one letter better than. Then
James Barber says Luke is literally a fan. So he is a fan. He knows Suri.
Is he?
That's what they're saying.
Well,
and if Shawnee did it, so like, Luke, get yourself together.
So maybe he was just doing that as like a funny thing.
As like a troll. Yeah.
Because he gets up there and he has his funny, like,
I don't know what to do here.
Sorry. I don't know how to spell your name.
I'll do a quick fantasy update then, McKenna. Ferris is winning. He's got 17. He's got 8 points from Cass, 5 from Luke. He had 4 from Kirby, but Kirby's gone. I'm in second. I have 5 from all 3 of my players who are all still in the game. Shawnee, Suri, Lisa. McKenna, you have 14, but you're down to just Parv. And then Tegwith has 8, and all she has left is Janine. Tegwith slept through the opening of the draft, Will, so we just gave her King George as the first pick. And shockingly, King George didn't do well. So, yeah.
But listen, so I might be down to one player, but I have the winner, so I'll rise to the top.
Can't you get enough points is the question here.
Advantage. Who do you have? Wait, who do you have left on your team?
I have Parv left.
Yeah. Oh, you think you have the winner.
I know I have the winner. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
All the spoilers that I totally read.
Yeah, exactly.
If Parv wins, does she count as a 2-time winner?
No, it's a gold medal. No. People have said that. It's a gold medal.
No.
People have said that. Okay.
As like one of the biggest Parvati fans out there, I would not count that as a 2-time win. It's like Suri won the Traitors. Like, that's, she doesn't have a Survivor win. She has a Traitors win. She has, Parv has an AU versus the world win.
Yeah. If it was a full season, sure, I'd have no problem. But even if it was 16 people, 8-8, and they were playing for 26 days, but like a 16-day season, if they did a U.S. version, I mean, people have been arguing that the new era wins aren't as impressive as the old school wins because it's shorter season and blah, blah, blah. It's like, then how is 10 days shorter than new era? I think it's a gold medal. I mean, that's, somebody put that in the chat at one point, and I was like, I totally agree with that. Like, this is, it is still impressive, but it's a totally different version.
Yeah, it's something else you're adding.
It's a win,
but
it's not a 2-time win.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Will, Blake, and I will be back tomorrow at 6:30-ish Eastern time. We're going to be doing our fantasy draft for Survivor 49. AU versus the World coverage will continue on Sunday with Tegwith. I don't know who she's going to be jumping in with, but she'll have somebody.
And tag Monday, with somebody.
Tag with somebody. There you go. Monday will also be Tegwith, and then Tuesday should be Tegwith and McKenna. And then whoever's around on September 7th to close out the season, that's who will be here. It won't be me. So AU versus
it will definitely be me.
This is the end of my AU versus the world coverage, everybody. So I did my best. Thank you for sticking with it. I'll still be watching. I will be doing, after the season ends, I am going to do an episode that's like a wrap up of like, was this a successful experiment? What do I think they could do to improve? What do I think? How do I think it felt after all is said and done? To give kind of my final thoughts. Maybe I can convince Will to join me on that.
And I think the overall vibe is going to be positive.
It's positive.
And this is a good idea. This is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm enjoying watching it, but it's not without its flaws. And we are a podcast that talks about the show, and we can criticize the show, and it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. And I do think, look, I'm pumped about the idea that this could continue to be something. I just hope that it goes. And I'm not saying it has to be the 50. Haley played 50 days in her one season. Like, I don't need that. But, like, get me up to that 26-day, 20 people, 18 people, something like that. Let's make it feel a little bit more, you know, impressive. That's just where I'm going. But I love the idea that this could –
Survivor 50 should have been 50 days.
It should have. Mike Gabler said 50 days, one person from each season. And I was like, all right, I'll do it.
I want – yeah, 50 days, 50 players would have been –
I'm into James Wallington's idea of old school, like old school, new era, all play their own games in the merge tribes of each, or then the pre-merge of the actual like 50 season.
Yeah. You get down a final 10 and it's like, oh, actually,
all right, like, we have a cast of 20.
Yeah.
I love halfway that. Through.
Anyway. All right. Well, like this video, subscribe to the channel. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow night. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.